What are you doing right now?
Power ranking pies.
You're listening to Talk Sports.
I mean, pies, you got 1,000 pies. Cherry pie, blueberry pie, chocolate pie. Birthday cake, cookies, chocolate chip, oatmeal raisin, macadamia nut. You got the four-layer delight. You got cupcakes. You got donuts. I mean, candy bars. Ice cream. There's 100,000 flavors of ice cream. Carrot cake, red velvet cake, chocolate cake, yellow cake. Oh, my God, I forgot sweet potato pie. Pizza pie, chicken pot pie, shepherd's pie.
Airing every day from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Talking. And baked with a crust, that gooey strawberry. When my grandma makes that, oh my God, I'd kill six innocent people to have a slice of that right now. You know, if I was in another country, didn't know the people, and they said you have to kill these people, nobody will ever know about it, but you get your slice of pie, that's a bad day for them.
I'm 1340 WKGN.
You don't want too much crust either. I don't like too much crust on my pies. A good thin flaky crust apple pie with the sugar on top and throw that scoop. I mean, right out of the oven too. I'm talking, I want you to picture this, right out of the oven in a bowl. You chop it around a little bit. Scoop on top. A little drips through the crevices of the cinnamon apple. God, it's good.
Hour two, kicking off in the Mountain View Chevy Studios, home of the low price promise. You know what that means? It means they'll meet or beat any advertised price, or they'll give you the car for free. They are in downtown Chattanooga. I'll be driving through Chattanooga tomorrow. Bills are downtown. I'm not going to be stopping and getting a car, but I'll go by the lot and blow the horn, eat some of their free popcorn. I mean, I guess if I found a really low advertised price on a Chevy, I'd take it in and, you know, make them match it. Maybe. If you guys can find some low advertised prices, send them to me. Maybe I'll buy a car when I get back from Vegas after I hit a fire bet at the dice table.
So you're flying out on Tuesday?
Yeah, maybe I'll – no. I'm going down Tuesday.
To Atlanta.
To Atlanta, flying out Wednesday.
Morning?
Yes, at 11.
No, so not too early.
Not too early, but well, I don't want to get caught in Atlanta morning traffic. I don't want to have to park at the airport. I'm going to go stay with my friend Terrell and then Uber over.
By the time you get out to Vegas, it'll still be early.
Still be over.
2 hours behind.
I'll still be able to post up for Game 5 of the Celtics-Cavs.
Yeah.
LeBron moneyline. Let's get this trip started off right.
You're not even going to be able to listen to the show.
I'll be able to listen to the first hour and then the podcast on FoxSportsKnoxville.com, powered by 245 Tech, whenever I touch down.
It'll be early. It'll be very early, though, to wake up. If you had to listen to the show in Vegas, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It'd be an 8 a.m. show.
It would be a 7 a.m. show.
We start at 10, right?
They're on Pacific time.
Oh, Vegas is Pacific. It's so weird to me that Vegas is Pacific, but they are, yeah.
You just got to realize that nothing's mountain time.
Except Denver.
Nothing's mountain time that's worth talking about except
Salt Lake City.
Yeah. That's it.
Who cares about Salt Lake City?
Salt Lake City and Denver. That's all you need to worry about being in mountain time.
Yeah, so 7 a.m.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'll check in.
You going to listen to Three and Out? Wake up at 4 o'clock?
Go to bed at 4. Throw on some Three and Out before I go to bed.
Nathan Houston will be coming on right as you're going to sleep.
I will call in and check in hour three with some updates from the story. Okay. But I plan on winning enough money to then come back and buy a Chevy from Mountain View Chevy. You can search the inventory online at mtnviewchevy.com. Let's kick off hour two with some headlines.
Thanks, John. A year ago at this time, the Vegas Golden Knights didn't have a single player on their roster. Now?
You're on CBS Sports, right?
Yes.
They call it a gentleman's sweep?
That's what they called it.
That's not a gentleman's sweep.
What's a gentleman's sweep?
Gentleman's sweep, because correct me if I'm wrong, but Vegas lost the first game to Winnipeg, right?
I don't remember.
Didn't Winnipeg blow out Vegas in game one, and then Vegas won the next four?
I thought a gentleman's sweep is where the other team gets one, but it's basically a sweep.
Gentleman's sweeps when the team's up 3-0. Usually they're on their home court, and then they let them win game four. let them get their one win, then they beat them in five.
Right.
Right.
That's not what happened here?
I'm nine. No, Winnipeg won game one.
Okay.
In Las Vegas.
Well, whoever authored this write-up.
I'm not blaming you. Yeah, no, I'm not blaming you. But Winnipeg won game one and then lost four in a row. That's not a gentleman's sweep. A gentleman's sweep is when it's over. It's 3-0. Usually, like I said, you're on the road. The team's at home, down 0-3. You let their fans have one more good moment of the season, like a true gentleman would, and then you go back and make your owner more money by giving them one more home playoff game.
Well, sounds,
shame on you, CBS Sports.
Sounds like Pete Blackburn from CBS Sports
is an idiot.
Needs an editor. To be fair, this was just posted 3 minutes ago, so it probably hasn't even been edited yet.
I want to go read his mentions to see if anyone's called him out on it.
They probably will now.
It's little stuff like that that makes me upset.
Just those minor details.
Yeah. Anyways, saw a lot of Preds fans mad that Vegas is in the final.
They are the first expansion team in all of sports to reach a championship round since the St. Louis Blues.
Did it in 67.
St. Louis Blues. They did it in 68.
Back then.
Or was it 67? Another mistake?
I saw 67, but maybe the cup was in 68. Or maybe the actual playoff was in 68. I don't know.
Maybe if we could trust Pete Blackburn's writing.
But either way, back then it was different. Back then, it was the original six versus six expansion teams. So, like, one expansion team had to make the final because it was the six originals versus six expansion teams. So, one expansion team had to make it. So, really, it's never happened before in sports, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
People are mad about it.
Fair enough.
I've made my thoughts known that I kind of like it as a casual fan. It makes a lot of monetary sense to promise a new market, hey, we're giving you a new team. If you do this the right way, it can be really good and you can make instant money. Now, I get why Preds fans are salty about it. A, Vegas holds their spot that they want, which is being in the final. And B, like Nashville was an expansion team not too long ago, and had to go through some really rough years and organically grow that fan base to where it got to the point where the team could be successful and then you could hop on the bandwagon. There's been no bandwagon for Vegas. It's just been they've been good since day one. And it's funny how wrong the media got it and how wrong the bookmakers got it.
They were picked dead last.
Yeah. And with a snippy remark of, well, at least they'll lead the league in jersey and merchandise sales.
Yeah, that was ESPN, their preseason power rankings. Had them dead last.
As I told you, there's a lot of money out on Vegas to win the cup. They're going to take a bath in people who have bet on Vegas to win the championship if they actually win. They're probably already going to take a bath because they won the West, and now people can hedge and protect themselves. Because I'd imagine that they're going to be favored over Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Or Washington. Tampa Bay's up 3-2. I would imagine that Vegas will be the heavy favorites, or at least the favorites over Tampa Bay. I'll be out there for that. It'll be kind of fun.
You'll be out there while they're playing.
I'd imagine I get to see a game of it, yeah. I'm not going to go to the game.
Not going to go to.
I'd imagine those tickets are out of this world.
Yeah.
Expensive. Probably.
At least check it out at the casino.
The sports book. Yeah, it'll be fun.
According to Adam Schefter, Brady regularly has participated in the Patriots' voluntary He has skipped all of the team's offseason program so far this season. And be, quote, really rejuvenated for the 2018 season. I guess he's working with his
No surprise there.
Yeah. A golfer this weekend at the BMW Charity Pro-Am shot a combined 55 on the front nine over the weekend. This was a really incredible round. The guy's name was Michael Arnaud on the web.com tour. His scorecards, they had to like check them and confirm them so that people would believe that he really did this. He dropped a 60, including a 27 on the front nine, a 27 with a bogey. He started that round off birdie, eagle, birdie, birdie, eagle, birdie, birdie.
Sounds good.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it sounds like you did a good job.
Yeah. It's pretty good round.
That is good golfing.
Good front nine.
Good golfing by him.
Birdie, eagle, birdie, birdie, eagle, birdie, birdie.
That's sounds solid.
Like the start of a song. Birdie, eagle, birdie, birdie, eagle, birdie, birdie.
If that was the beginning of a song, I would turn the song off.
Birdie, eagle, birdie, birdie, eagle, birdie, birdie.
Nope. Didn't make it any better just by repeating it in the same exact way that you did the time before.
And route to a 60 on the day.
Thought he got a 55.
I did. A 60 on a different day. Anyway.
I
thought it was impressive.
No, it is impressive.
The Kings and the Hawks, your Hawks.
Cuckoo! Cuckoo!
We can incorporate that into the song.
I've made your birdie eagle song better.
There we go. Got a whole song out of this segment.
Birdie eagle birdie eagle birdie. It is kind of catchy if you repeat it enough times. Birdie eagle birdie birdie.
Oh shucks. The Kings and Hawks could pass on Luka
Doncic.
If he's not picked number one overall by the Suns, Luka Doncic is considered by many to be the top prospect in the draft. If the Suns pass, it appears the Kings and the Hawks may pass, according to NBA draft rumors.
I don't believe that for one second.
Jonathan Givony of ESPN says this.
Nope, don't believe it. Not buying it.
It's his report.
There is no way he's going outside the top three.
Is Jonathan Givony a trusted reporter?
Jonathan Givony is full of baloney.
And a total phony.
And a total phony. He is a phony baloney. There's no way he gets outside the top three. Luka Doncic will go in the top three. Lock it down. Look, I know that my history with draft predictions were 0-1. I know I said that there's no way Baker Mayfield goes number one overall. But there is no way Luka Doncic goes outside of the top three. There's no way he goes outside the top two. Not buying it. Well, I take that back. He might go out of the top two if basically he tells Sacramento, look, I'm not coming there. I'm staying over here. I'm staying overseas if you draft me.
If he tells Sacramento to go pluck itself.
Yeah, that's the only way.
Which I wouldn't blame him at all.
I don't see how there's even a talk of this, because I don't think there's any way Luka Doncic doesn't go number one overall to the Suns. They hired his coach. To me, is that not tipping your hand when they hire your EuroLeague basketball coach?
It kind of seems like it, doesn't it?
One would think. Then there is DeAndre Ayton, who is a pretty good big man, right? In the same city, or I don't know if it's the same city, right in the same state, the University of Arizona. Where's the University of Arizona at?
Glendale.
I was going to say, I feel like you made that up.
Let me find out. I think it's in...
It's not in Phoenix,
Glendale,
right?
Glendale, Tucson. It's in Tucson.
Tucson?
Yeah.
How far is Tucson from Glendale? Wait, not Glendale, Phoenix.
Tucson to Phoenix.
Yeah, like, is this a hometown?
It's about a three-hour drive, I think. Hour and 43 minutes. From Tucson.
3 hours of traffic.
Yeah, 3 hours if you have
3 hours of traffic, you nailed it.
Once you get into Phoenix, the traffic flow can be pretty heavy.
And like, what's the best storyline? Who is the best storyline for winning the lottery? Of the realistic teams, I did think Phoenix was, because you can make a case for both those guys. One, a quote-unquote hometown hero 2 hours down the road, versus the guy whose coach you just hired. But go ahead and lock it down, Cody. There is no way Luka Doncic doesn't go in the top three.
I'm doing the writing motion in the air now.
He's writing it down.
An Ohio pig was arrested. Police officers in Ohio were convinced a man who called 911 about a pig following him was drunk and hallucinating. But it turns out that the caller was telling the truth, and he was very sober. He was being stalked by a pig. Officers received a call around 5:30 a.m. Saturday from a man who said the pig was following him while he was walking home from the Amtrak train station in Cleveland. The caller added that he didn't know what to do. Police officers were skeptical to believe the man and thought he was intoxicated. Night shift responded to the obviously drunk guy walking home from the bar at 5:26 in the morning. He was at least drunk enough to call the police on himself while hallucinating, the police department said. But their theory was wrong. The pig was actually following him. So
was he trying to eat him, or was the pig just trying to be his friend? Do we
I don't
know?
The cops got the pig, and there's a picture of the pig in the backseat of the cop car. One of the officers managed to get the pig into the police cruiser and take it to the city's dog kennel. I'm sure the dogs will be happy to see the pig there.
Okay.
So that was, what a deal. What a
okay.
deal. Just imagine just walking down the street at 5 in the morning and you're being followed by a pig. What would you do?
I don't think I'd call the cops, but I guess if you didn't know what else to do, maybe you hope they show up with some guns. Fry some bacon.
Could have been a sketchy pig, you know.
Let's go to break.
Those gangster pigs.
Nutrishop.
With Hunter Johnson leaving Clemson, he is now the third straight number one ranked pocket passer by ESPN from the 2017, 16, and 15 classes to transfer. All three of the number one ranked pocket passers have transferred from the last 3 years. Jacob Eason and Blake Barnett were the other ones. Is there anything to take away from that?
Well, sounds like guys who are really talented go to places where there are other really talented players, and if they don't make it, they know they're really talented, so they want to go somewhere else so that they can have a better chance to get to the NFL, show off their arm in college, get picked up.
I was trying to trap you. I was trying to trap you by presenting that as just the pro-style quarterbacks. That way you could say that the college game has moved to dual threat.
Oh, yeah?
And then I was going to say, boom, gotcha, Shea Patterson and Kyler Murray, the number one dual threat quarterbacks from 2016 and 2015, also had to transfer. So I do think you nailed your assessment pretty accurately, as in if you are highly ranked, A, you're probably going somewhere where there's good players. Kyler Murray started his career at Texas A&M, correct?
Mm-hmm. He did.
Jacob Eason started his at Georgia. Blake Barnett started his at Alabama.
Are those
right? Was Blake Barnett Alabama?
Yeah,
is that where he started his
career?
Yeah. Shea Patterson, Ole Miss. I wouldn't say there were very many quarterbacks there going for his spot, or was there?
No.
With his, figured
that
was the
Te'amu guy behind him.
Yeah.
But that was because he got hurt.
With me, it just seems like Patterson's leaving because obviously the scandal.
Yeah, sure. Fair enough. I mean, those guys go to places, with the exception probably of Patterson. You know, I mean, even if you're a really good quarterback, there's other really good quarterbacks probably that were in the class before you or two classes before you. And I think you get to a certain point where you're guys like that, and if you're a certain level of talented, you got people in your ear, they're telling you, hey, man, you need to get out of there. There's no need to waste this. Go somewhere where you can show off your arm, where you can play, get to the NFL.
What happened with Blake Barnett at Alabama? Why didn't he succeed there?
I don't remember. We talked about him. That same class with Rosen.
Yeah.
He
had to transfer to JUCO, and now I think he's headed to Arizona State.
Yeah. I don't know why that didn't work out for him at Alabama.
Was it just Jalen Hurts beating him out? Wasn't it him and Jalen Hurts kind of going head-to-head in those first couple of games? And then Hurts was able to come in and make more plays?
Yeah, they had a couple different quarterbacks At one point, I know they had like four or five guys that were going for that starting spot.
Quarterback transfers make sense, right? I mean, usually it's only one guy who's getting to play. I mean, very rarely are you running a two-quarterback system, or is the opportunity enough with injuries to stick around? And as you saw with Jacob Eason, you know, I would say Jacob Eason had a decent freshman year, correct? Like, did you look at Jacob Eason after his freshman year and think bust? I mean, I know that he had, you know, didn't maybe live up to expectations. They went 7-5. I mean, he looked okay against Tennessee. I mean, he had obviously the touchdown pass that was going to win the game, if not for the Hail Mary.
No, I remember the call very well. This is where legends are made.
Yeah, it was right in front of me.
Gary and Vern talking about this is how legends are made.
Example number 648,000 of why Vernon Lundquist is an idiot.
Well, I think it was Gary Danielson that
said
that.
He's not much better.
I think it was Danielson. Anyway, yeah, Eason, I think he would have ended up being pretty good. Like, he was just very unlucky.
Yeah.
You know, because he came in, and there were some Georgia people, if I remember last year, coming into the season who really thought Fromm was good enough to be their starter.
Really?
But he wouldn't have been.
Yeah.
You know. But, you know, Eason gets hurt against Appalachian State, and he just never – I mean, you can't go back from it. You know?
And I would think that Georgia would have had the same amount of success with Eason instead of Fromm. Like, were there any games we looked at and said they won that game because they had Fromm?
No. Not that I recall.
Yeah.
I mean, he was that's an interesting point, though, because they didn't want to go away from him because he had done good enough in the system to, you know, he had earned his spot. But
yeah, I mean, he was comfortable enough. Against Notre Dame, 16 of 29, 141 yards, a touchdown, an interception – them winning that game at Notre Dame basically sealed his fate that, hey, he's going to be the starter, right?
Yeah.
Once he did that, you looked around, you said, okay, yeah, this guy's going to be good enough. I know that the Mississippi State game at the end of September or towards the end of September was the next big test because Mississippi State came in red hot, correct? Wasn't that like a three-point spread? Was Mississippi State favored in that game? Or was it just Georgia opened favored, and then it basically got – I think Georgia opened as 7-point favorites, and then it got bet down to, like, Mississippi State plus 3.5, and a lot of people thought Mississippi State had a chance to come in and upset them, and then Georgia just blew their doors off. And Fromm went, I think, 9 of 12.
Two touchdowns.
Hit some deep bombs. Is that how that game played out? He had a couple of deep one-on-one shots down the field.
Yeah, I would think so because his yards per attempt was 16.8 and he only had 9 completions, so
yeah.
200 yards. Yeah, I'd say hit a couple deep balls.
I'm pretty sure they set the tone early just by hitting some deep post with no safety in the middle of the field because obviously Georgia's run game was unstoppable and they were able to get the play action going. So, like, Fromm played pretty well against Mississippi State, and maybe it was at that point officially that you looked and said, okay, yeah, Georgia's got something special. We're not shaking this up. But I don't look at any of these and think, yeah, Jake Fromm won them that game.
No, all you got to do is go look at the rushing numbers. I mean, I'm looking over Jake Fromm's the game log right now, just like you are. There's no game where he had more than 2 touchdowns besides Samford. He threw 3 touchdowns against Samford.
Right.
Other than that, I mean, he had either 1 or 2 passing touchdowns.
Now, I will say the best game he probably played was against Auburn in the SEC championship, if you just look at the numbers. 16 of 22, 183 yards, 2 touchdowns. That's probably his best game.
I mean, it's efficient.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. You don't turn the ball over against Auburn, and you come back and you win that game.
He never had to throw the ball. He was literally 4 for 7 against Florida. 9 of 14. When I just looking at Fromm, like some of these games, he didn't even have to throw it because Chubb and Michelle, like he's got games here. He's 7 of 15, 7 of 11.
Hey, keep that in mind next time you give quarterback wins as a like official stat and you start, you know, judging quarterbacks based on wins and losses.
Yeah.
Keep in mind Jake Fromm went 4 of 7 against Florida.
8 of 13, 9 of 14.
Imagine going 4 of 7 against Florida. I'm not gonna tie this back into my argument that I've been having with people for a month, but like If you need to stop and think and rationally consider that maybe quarterback wins are a dumb stat, look at Jake Fromm.
Particularly in college ball.
Yes, and then consider he went 4 of 7 against Florida, and they won 42-7. Maybe consider that when you start giving quarterbacks credit for wins and losses. Jake Fromm went 4 of 7.
The most attempts that he had all year was 32, and that was against Alabama in the national championship game. You know how many he completed there?
Well, I do 16. Because I'm looking at it, yeah.
Yeah, half of them.
So maybe you can make the case they win that game with Jacob Eason.
Well, I mean, you look at Fromm, he's 50%, 16 of 32, a touchdown and 2 picks.
He threw the pick the very first play of the game that wasn't really his fault. It was just his receiver let him down, and Alabama's defensive back ripped it away from him.
Yeah. I mean, if you
but
look 16 at
16 of 32, maybe you look and say Jacob Eason actually maybe wins the national title.
You look at him against really good defenses, and the numbers aren't quite as good. I guess that's really the only elite defense they played, though. Auburn, that defense was good. I guess he was okay in both his games against Auburn. Nothing special, I mean.
It was 13 of 28 at Auburn.
Yeah. One touchdown. It's under 50%.
He went 7 of 15 for 80 yards against Tennessee, and they beat us 41-0.
Oklahoma's probably his best game. 69% in that game.
That's pretty nice.
2 touchdowns.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess he did come up big in the Rose Bowl. But, yeah, if I'm Jacob Eason, I just sit over there all year on the sideline just thinking, what the hell, man? What the hell?
I am glad you brought this up because I did think all year. I never bought into the Jake Fromm talk. I mean, not to say he's not a good quarterback or, you know, if he's in a different system, he might be putting up big numbers or whatever. But, I mean, the guy had Chubb and Michelle. That's the most lethal running back combination I can remember.
And it's why I think quarterback wins are a stupid stat, because you start looking at these game-by-game breakdowns, Jake Fromm didn't do anything to win these games. He was able to take the snap and turn around and hand off.
Must be nice.
He went 4 of 7 against Florida.
And threw a pick.
Poor Jacob Eason. Poor Jacob Eason.
Where's he going? He's going to Washington, yeah.
It's Washington, right?
Yeah.
Going to go and Eason didn't even get to – Eason didn't even get a red shirt last year, did he? Because I remember they had him in mop-up duty against Florida, right? Didn't they bring him in against Florida?
Yeah, he played late in the year in a couple games.
So he didn't even get a red shirt. That's messed up, Kirby.
Now he's got to go back up to Washington with all those weirdos. Going to go play in Washington. So they talk up there.
Thanks, people. Tweet us next.
Volunteer Fire.
You want a sports station that gives you answers. But if you want the answers, you got to be willing to ask the tough questions.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
Fox Sports Knoxville. Real sports radio for real sports fans. Fan Run Radio.
Time to get into things people tweet us. Tweeted it out this morning, like right when the show was starting, and got a lot of replies, then I forgot that like most of them weren't good.
Sounds like people need to step up their tweets.
Braves ninth inning comeback. Already got to that. Check out the podcast. Some questions about the Royal Wedding. Do you have any thoughts on the Royal Wedding? Did you watch it?
No. No, I didn't. But I will say I wasn't one of these anti-Royal Wedding people.
Okay.
I just didn't personally care, but I wasn't going to like go online and be like, you are stupid if you watch The Royal Wedding, because I know a lot of people enjoy it, especially women in their 40s.
I thought it was weird his ex-girlfriend showed up.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She showed up wearing all black, apparently. I did see the pictures of that. Like, it seemed weird to me that she showed up.
It's a weird message to send.
Yeah.
Like it was a funeral for her personally, babe, maybe?
Yeah, maybe. Huh. Maybe she, you know, had been wanting to be a princess her whole life. Now she doesn't get to.
I did find it pretty cool, to be honest with you. All the stuff you saw. Well, you know, the old picture going around with Meghan Markle and how she, when she was 15, she was just visiting Buckingham Palace.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, just a kid or whatever. And then years later, now she's royalty. I thought that was pretty cool. You saw those pictures. You know what I'm talking about, right?
No, yeah, I saw it.
Yeah. Like, who would have thought? I mean, to, you know, like, that's, let's say you and I go visit the Eiffel Tower or something.
I'd never go visit the Eiffel Tower.
And then in 20 years, it's named the Talk Sports Tower for some reason, you know.
I don't feel like that's the, I don't feel like that's a.
I'm trying to think of an analogy.
I don't feel like the Buckingham Palace is now the Meghan Markle Palace.
Just accept my.
Okay.
Let's say we go visit the World Trade Center site or something.
Okay,
I think it'd
on.
Be more like we're like, we want to get this show nationally syndicated, and then all of a sudden we were nationally syndicated.
It's like if we went and took a picture outside the headquarters of Sirius XM, like thumbs up, like,
yeah.
Hey, we'll be here someday, and then in 10 years we're national.
Yeah, I mean, but do we know that's was she plotting this?
No.
Because, I mean, in our scenario, like, if we're going there to be standing outside the station, like, we're kind of plotting it. This could all just be one big coincidence. Maybe she was just around. It's like, oh, I want to go see the Buckingham Palace.
This just happened by chance.
Yeah.
Well, let's say I get invited to perform for Queen Elizabeth, and then eventually I end up...
Perform what exactly?
Marrying Queen Elizabeth.
Next thing you know, you're driving her around in her spare car.
Right. In,
that type
in
of
20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did get asked to power rank our favorite British people in honor of the royal wedding.
Good one.
Is that a good
Let's
one?
Let's do that. Yeah.
That was our power ranking idea, and there was also stripper songs, and because, you know, from Stormy Daniels last week, and our bucket list places to visit. I feel like those all kind of tied into the royal wedding. So maybe we'll get into one of those a little bit later.
I like British people. Power ranking British people. It's pretty funny.
Who is better, Matthew Stafford or Marcus Mariota? I'd say Stafford's better now, but I would definitely rather have Mariota.
Yeah, Stafford.
Does the NBA have enough influence over teams to where they can make sure Golden State doesn't sweep everyone? We haven't gotten to the NBA yet. Do you feel like the leagues happen to fix things so that Golden State just doesn't sweep through the playoffs? I mean, the Pelicans got a game off of them. The Spurs got a game off of them. The Rockets got a game off of them. I think it's more just them kind of getting bored. I don't think it has to be influenced. I think basically they win the games they need to win or that they want to win.
You think it's like the NBA's offering incentives to, hey, drop a game here, let's – at least make this kind of interesting.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's the case. I think they were up 2-0 against – or 3-0 up against the Spurs, and that was the gentleman's sweep, right? They're up 3-0. They're like, okay, Manu, get your one game. We'll be a gentleman. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, have your moment, then we'll beat your brains out in game 5. That's what happened there. With New Orleans, they lost game 3 because New Orleans came out and threw their best shot, and for the Warriors it didn't really matter, then they beat them the next two. And it looks like that might be what happening here in this series after, you know, they win game 1, the Rockets come out, everything to lose, throw everything at them, win game 2, and then game 3 goes back to Golden State, and the Warriors beat them by 41!
41.
41.
I mean, I really thought we were going to lead off with that today. I'm surprised we didn't. I'm surprised it's 11:40 and we're just now mentioning it, but...
Well, like I said...
What a beating.
Sometimes I try to take into account what 3-and-out's talking about, sometimes I don't. But they waited till their very last segment to talk about it, so I didn't want to give the station like 45 minutes straight of NBA talk, because there's not much here in this series right now. It's just that, you know, Golden State is really good and can name their score in certain situations. Although I am getting kind of tired of people acting like this is new for the NBA.
Like it's ruined now and it's never happened before?
Well, I mean, it's like... Usually the guy who hates the NBA claims to have loved it back in the 80s or 90s, right?
Yeah.
And we act like the Bulls didn't win 6 finals. We act like the Bulls didn't win 6 championships.
Wasn't a super team, though. It was just Jordan's greatness.
Right, but we act like they didn't get to the finals and not even have to have a game 7. Like they didn't win, you know, the 6 full years where Jordan played in the 90s, they won the title. So, like, you can kind of miss me with, well, the Warriors are too good, because you also are usually the guy who loved or claims to have loved the NBA in the 90s. That whole 80s thing, when it was the golden age, the Lakers won 5 of them, the Celtics won 3 of them. The Celtics and Lakers played 4 times. It's always been a league where, like, 3 or 4 teams max each year are going to win the title. That's just kind of how it is. This isn't a new, thing.
And that's kind of how all of sports is, if you think about it. It's not just the NBA. I mean, that the NBA always gets hit with that argument.
Yeah.
What we've talked about before with Alabama and college football, you know, every year you're going to have the Patriots in the NFL. You're going to have Alabama in college. In baseball, you're going to have whoever's good in baseball.
Yeah, and, well, baseball's more random. Baseball, you can't say that in. Baseball, you know, they kind of come from out of nowhere for the most part, or at least they get there and there's a legitimate chance that 8 teams can go on to win the World Series.
I mean, it's still a small group, though. You still have a handful of teams that are good every year. Like the Giants that won it every even year for how many years?
Well, yeah, but that was what made it so weird, is that then they missed the playoffs the next year.
But, yeah, true.
I mean, hockey really has its chest out right now because, you know, it's got an expansion team and most likely Tampa Bay. And I don't know where Tampa Bay was slated preseason, but it would have taken me 7 or 8 or 15 guesses to guess Tampa Bay would be a Stanley Cup final
19th
participant.
I think.
Okay, so
I remember that ESPN power ranking.
So they have their chest beat out right now if you didn't see this coming. But at the same time, is everyone not mad about that? Is everyone not mad that Las Vegas came out of nowhere?
A lot of people seem to be, yes.
Everyone's mad that Las Vegas came out of nowhere, so don't try to use it as a feather in their cap whenever you've been complaining about it. So, no, I don't think the league has to manipulate things to get Golden State to drop a game. I just think they have to kind of be bored. We'll see what the Rockets can do in Game 4. I'm going to guess not much. I'm going to guess they don't put up much of a fight, that the Warriors still win comfortably. Because Steph Curry did kind of break out of his slump last night. And that was the only thing even relatively keeping them alive, was Curry struggling. That was the storylines from Game 1 and 2, right? When they won Game 1, you're like, well, you were kind of in this, and it was because Curry was 2 for 15 from 3. And then last night, Curry breaks out of that, scores 35, goes off in the second half, buries you in the third quarter, and all of a sudden, you know, Steph Curry's back, and now it's just time to batten down the hatches and hope you can survive a storm and maybe win one more game if you're Houston. But yeah, I mean, it seems like it's a wrap. It seems like the Warriors are winning this title.
Seems like they're just messing around with them almost, you know?
I mean, last night they were.
I mean, when they want to flex, they can really flex.
They flexed in Game 1. In the second half of that game, and then last night, yeah, like, because the Rockets had their fun in Game 2, blowing Golden State out, and we're having fun with it, and you just knew that, yeah, Game 3 was going to be the opposite. Like, Golden State is going to flex their muscle on you a little bit. You beat Dad in the arm wrestling competition a couple times, but that third time he wanted to slam you real hard to make you realize, oh, wait, no, you're not near as tough as me. Takes you out back for a game of one-on-one. Yeah, you've kept it close a couple of times. You even got a win. But that game after you got a win, Dad comes out and beats you 11-1. Starts blocking your shots again, not letting you get those layups up. That's what last night was. Daddy came home and said, okay, you beat me that one time. You've been talking trash to me. I'm going to remind you that you're not better than me just yet. Chris Paul, James Harden, 12 of 32. They're not going to win like that. They're just not. They're going to have both of them shoot ridiculous shots and be at their apex, and they haven't been this series so far, and that's why you've seen Golden State kind of toy with them.
Did we get any other tweets?
Yeah. Thoughts on the white girl on stage with Kendrick Lamar last night who sang the N-word multiple times. Kendrick called her out on it. What are your thoughts on that?
Racist.
Should Kendrick have invited the white girl up on stage knowing what song he was going to play, though? I feel like that's kind of entrapment in a way.
Okay, so Kendrick Lamar brought this girl on stage.
Yeah.
And to sing with him, right?
That's what the tweet sounds like, yeah.
But she was a white girl, and she was saying the N-word many times.
Right.
Okay. And was he cool with it? Or I mean, what?
No, he stopped his performance.
Oh, okay. Well, then probably not a good look. Racist? I don't. Is it racism?
Do you not expect her to sing along when you bring her up on stage?
I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like it's in a perfect world, you would think, okay, white person doesn't sing along to this part.
Yeah, but
in a perfect world, that's what you think. But
you're probably drunk.
You're probably drunk, and we've seen it. We know enough.
You're partying on stage.
Well, we know enough to know that this world isn't perfect, and that people are going to, you know, we see viral videos all the time. We saw the soccer team that got in trouble with the little Dickie song by, you know, repeating the N-word multiple times. Like, we kind of know that this isn't, like I said, utopia.
And I think there's, like, for better or worse, like, the stigma isn't there in the songs usually. Like, people, like, don't really think of it like that.
Oh, so he stopped the whole thing.
He shut down the performance.
You kind of cringe. I can't even hear it, and it's making me cringe.
Like, on one hand, you get it. Like, if you're Kendrick Lamar, you don't want to only bring up black fans. You want to have a diversity there. On one hand, I get it from that angle. On the other, maybe you just have to put it on this girl that surely to God she's going to know not to say this part in front of 80,000 people. Surely to God, she's not going to say this. Oh, go, she said it. Now I'm going to have to use this as a teachable moment. And I'm going to have to explain to her this is not good. I'm going to say, don't say this. And you can miss me with the idea that white people should be allowed to say the word if black people are. Like, come on. You have to know that we're not at that point regardless. We're going to have to know that we're not at that point regardless, right? Like, now's not your chance to make a political statement, lady on stage. Don't do it. Oh, no, she did it. Okay, stop the show.
Home is where the...
Watch the video during the break. I don't think I've ever cringed harder for someone who just you see in her body language, she knows that, oh no, what have I done. I feel like it's kind of messed up you stopped the show, though. Or is it? Do you stop the show if you're Kendrick at that point?
Hey, he's trying to prove a point. I don't blame him necessarily.
Apparently, he stops the video and says, you got one word that you have to censor. And then she goes, oh, did I say it? I'm so sorry. Very cringeworthy video.
Was it, I mean, it was the rap version of the word, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't the...
Yeah.
The really bad
one. It wasn't the hard ending.
Yeah.
And you can, like I said, you can believe that you should outlaw the word for everyone. I'm not going to argue with you about what you believe. If you think that the N-word should be restricted for everyone, I won't argue with you about it. But like I said, I do think that you have to know that we're not at that point just yet. And that either way, white girl shouldn't have said it.
Yeah, probably not. Probably not.
Oh, man.
White girls, man.
That poor girl when the video when he stopped it. Added one more tweet topic in, now that we're at towards the hour of hour two. I don't know if we can really get into it just yet. I was going to save it for later in the show. Apparently, you're being called out. We can't rank British people because that's royal wedding stuff.
That makes no sense.
Yeah,
we never talked about ranking royal wedding stuff.
You just want to do British people, right?
Yeah, just British people, right?
I don't know if I can name five British people I like off the top of my head, though. Like, whenever I keep thinking of British people, I keep coming to Austin Powers, like at, like, number two. I got David Beckham and Austin Powers. That's all I got. I don't know if I can get to five people in our British power rankings.
There are a lot of British people out there.
Well, I know that. I know that there are. I know that it's not some 10-person pool. I know that there are real-life people that I don't have to probably get to Austin Powers. I'm sitting here right now, and I'm telling you that I have two people in my head, David Beckham and Austin Powers.
Think about music.
I mean, like the whole Rolling Stones, I guess. Is that who's going to be on your list? You're just going to name all five Stones?
No, not all of them. Maybe one
or Beatles, two. The Beatles, they count as British, right?
Yeah. Led Zeppelin.
Anybody outside of music that people like? The butler from Batman?
Famous British people.
Alfred?
Well, you got Winston Churchill, Stephen Hawking.
You love Winston Churchill, too.
Yeah.
I feel like your power rankings for British people would be better than your power rankings for American people.
Princess Diana. I feel like all time we can do some pretty good ones. John Lennon, Margaret Thatcher, Charles Darwin, Charles Dickens. J.K. Rowling, the Harry Potter lady.
I don't like her.
About her. I don't either. Tony Blair. J.R.R. Tolkien. Isn't he an author?
I think it's Tolkien.
Tolkien?
Yeah.
Horatio. Freddie Mercury.
All right, maybe we'll do our list there. Quit spoiling all the good ones. I guess we'll...
Alan Turing, wasn't he a scientist?
I don't know who the hell Alan Turing is. Engineer. Hour two in the books.
Florence Nightingale.
Hour three on deck. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fox Sports.
Charles.
Let Toyota Knoxville